game is in the books, and the Light by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show is on the air on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remiliotis.
Hawks get back into the win column. I'm going to bring in Steve Conrad, and we're going to help us break down this game. Steve, there wasn't much to cheer for in the first 40 minutes. It was a very low-event game. Not much going on. A lot of volume. The shots were there, but not much to cheer for in the building. Third period was different, and the Hawks come away with a much-needed 2 points.
Yeah, you know, a patient game, and sometimes young teams have a tough time sticking to a patient game plan. And you don't want to be trading chances. And, you know, listen, I think at times in the second period, they were under siege. But, you know, that's why you have great goaltending. And that's exactly what Spencer Knight provided for them. So they bent. They didn't break. They withstood the barrage, especially early in that second period. And then for the most part in that third period, they were taking it to the Ducks. So it was great to see. It would have been better to see them win it in regulation. And unfortunately, and Wyatt Kaiser, we talked about him tonight. Boy, he had a strong game. He really played a good game. And just an unfortunate break with the puck going on edge as he tried to clear it off the glass. It ends up into the stands and a delay of game penalty. That's how Anaheim ended up tying it. But exciting finish. And, you know, Frank Nazar and others, Connor Bedard, Ryan Donato, they continue to impress. And Nazar, especially tonight, I just noticed the responsibility the coaching staff is putting on him, whether it's killing penalties, whether it's being on the power play, whether it's taking faceoffs deep in his own zone in important situations. That was something Jonathan Toews did. And I'm not comparing him to Jonathan Toews, but that's the kind of player I think they're hoping that he will become. And, you know, he almost is right now.
For sure. If you're Wyatt Kaiser, the Hawks, I think, are one of the most penalized teams so far this season. But that Wyatt Kaiser play, it's just horrible luck. And that's got to be an awful feeling if you're sitting in the penalty box. You see that puck go in to make it 1-1. Because it's one of those things the Hawks have had a couple times this year where they've committed a penalty late in the third and they've had to kill it off. And so he's probably exhaling after that win finally went in.
Oh, absolutely. And I love to see the coaching staff put them right. He was right back out there shortly after that tying goal. The thing is, when you take a penalty late and the other team's down by a goal, you know they're going to pull their goaltender. And, you know, 6-on-4 is a lot different than a 5-on-4. And there was literally, you know, no chance for the Blackhawks to touch the puck and get it down the ice. I believe they did right off the draw, because I know they had one line change. But then after that, those penalty killers were stuck out there, so they were dead tired. So not going to blame them. A perfect shot by Mason McTavish to tie it. And so it makes this game exciting. You never know what's going to happen. Sometimes it's the bounce of the puck or just the puck being up on edge, and that's what happened. And they end up still getting the win.
You mentioned Frank Nazar. Scored his third goal. He gets Chicago on the board, but he started the play on the blue line where he kind of got barreled. Pushes the puck over, ends up getting it back over to Wyatt Kaiser, and then he bears it. It was like it started with Nazar. He passed it over to Kaiser, so he was part of the middle play, and then he finished it. You mentioned, I didn't think his line was too noticeable in the first two periods, but it's one of those things that even when you're not at your best, it feels like he elevated to the occasion in the third and in overtime when it mattered most.
Yeah, because, Charlie, I think on that play, too, he might have intercepted the pass to kind of break up the play, and then, you know, he takes it towards the blue line. He gets steamrolled by Radko Gudas, who's one of the best hitters, one of the heaviest hitters in the NHL. But he still controlled the puck. He's down on his knees controlling the puck and then had the presence of mind to get it to Kaiser. Kaiser with a shot off the crossbar. And then the hands, I mean, to control that puck. He picked that rebound up as it just bounced on the ice and somehow banked it in. It might have gone off the far post, but he didn't have a lot of net to shoot at. Slid it in the cage. That was all Nazar right there. That was, you know, beginning, middle, and end. He was a big part of that.
Something tells me these Blackhawks-Ducks matchups in the future are going to be pretty fun. It feels like they're both rising at the same time, and it's going to be one of those, maybe not to the level of what we saw a decade ago when the Hawks and Ducks were battling in the Western Conference Finals consistently, and it was heavy-hitting hockey, But both of these two teams have been really fun to watch as they grow into the next phase of their rebuild.
Well, yeah. You know, tonight, Nazar was great. Bedard, he probably ended up with 10 shots. I don't know what he had, but he was magical out there. And on the back end, Renzel, you know, there's a host of others. But I looked at this Anaheim team, especially over the first two periods. Boy, Leo Carlson really stuck out to me. I mean, he sticks out because he's a big body. He's 6'3", 210 pounds, but he can fly.
He's faster than I thought.
Yes.
Seeing it live.
He is.
Sure.
He is faster. And Beckett Seneca, slippery, and he's a big body too. He's 6'3", almost 210 pounds. Yeah, so they've got some talent too, and you're right. For the next 10 years, they're not in the same division. They're in the same conference, so we get to see them a few times at the United Center each year. That's going to be a rivalry that just continues to grow and grow.
We're waiting on our post-game guest. Alex Vlasic is expected to join us, mm-hmm. so hopefully we'll get him on here momentarily. You mentioned Connor Bedard. It felt like he was dialed in all night. He finished with 9 shots on goal, which by far led all skaters. I think the only other player that had more than 2 on Chicago were Nazar and Connor Murphy. So it was a terrific performance by Connor, and he gets credited with the primary assist on, obviously, Donato's overtime winner.
Well, what a play that was. I mean, he takes the feed, and I forget who fed him, but it was a great stop by Dostal. But he didn't quit. You know, a lot of times a guy gets stoned by a goaltender and he gives up. He didn't. He stuck with it behind the net. He won the battle behind the net. Then he had the presence of mind to spot Ryan Donato, who was wide open. He had a wide open cage because Dostal had overplayed and scores the goal.
All right, let's head downstairs. Our post-game guest is here, Alex Vlasic. Alex, there wasn't much going on in those first 40 minutes of play, but what did you see in the third period, and how relieved were you to see that puck go in overtime for Wyatt there after the penalty in the third?
Yeah, it was definitely, I thought we played a good first period, and then, kind of stepped off the gas a little bit in the second, kind of similar to our game against Vancouver, to be honest with you, and we knew we had better. We knew we had to come out in the third and make a statement, and I felt like we were all over them. We were in the O-zone quite a bit, getting pucks to the net, and Kaiser had a great game. He's one of our most consistent players every single night, and those are the penalties you want to kill for your teammates, and obviously it's unfortunate they were able to get the extra guy out there as well. So just really pumped and relieved that we were able to win that one in overtime.
Alex, congratulations on a great game. You know, 5-on-5, you're penalty killing. You look at the situations that, sometimes you're in. Is it comforting to know that you've got a goaltender, a world-class goaltender in Spencer Knight back there to help maybe cover up some mistakes?
100%. Yeah, I think he makes it easy for us, not only with his saves, but he's really good at playing the puck. So it's nice to have him back there. He feels like an anchor for the defenseman, I know. And like you said, anytime there's any breakdowns or mistakes, he's right there to back us up. And, we're very reliant on him in certain situations. And, very fortunate to have him back there.
Alex, you guys are 3-0-1 in your last 4 after an 0-2-1 start. But you look at those first 3 games, you're 15 seconds away from pushing overtime against Montreal. There were a couple chances in overtime in Boston that easily could have gone your way. I mean, what's the confidence level of your group as you start to see the process turn into the results?
I think the thing to take away that we've been happy with is just our defensive game. I think from forwards to defense to goalies, it seems like every single game has been a one-goal game. And, you're not going to be able to put up more than 4 goals against the good teams in this league on a consistent basis. So for us to keep the games, within reach, 1-goal games, 2-goal games, it's important for us. And, we're very happy with that result.
Alex, you've already been a talented player. I can remember watching you with your Chicago Mission here in Chicago. Good skater. But you've taken it to another level now. I think confidence probably a big part of that too. But who's helped you, let's say, on the coaching staff as far as, skills and maybe mindset on the ice?
I'm very fortunate to work with Brian Kane, our skills coach in the summer. I think he's honestly one of the hardest workers that we have on our organization. I mean, he's always cutting up video. He's making sure that I'm getting what I need every single day. And he's honestly one of the smartest guys, too. I think his hockey mind is off the charts. And it's really, really awesome to have him on our squad. I feel like I learned so much from him. And to have Anders and Blash and those guys behind the bench, they give me the green light to, push it, skate with the puck, try things out. And obviously that comes with a little bit of responsibility, and, I can't take that for granted. So I'm in a very lucky situation, and they've all been such good mentors for me.
Alex, last one for you. You were one of three players to wear that A on your sweater, obviously, with Dickinson and Foligno out. What does that mean to you as a Chicago kid? I mean, is it a kind of a pinch me moment where you're kind of looked upon as one of the leaders of this young, growing group?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, honestly. I think my first thing that I kind of noticed was, you know, when I would come to games and you'd see, you know, guys like Keith and Seabrook and Sharp, you know, all these guys wearing the A's, Kaner. It's kind of crazy to think that, like, kids are coming to the games and maybe looking at me that same way. I don't feel like I'm, you know, that good or that much of a leader as you know, compared to those guys. But, yeah, it definitely is a pinch me moment, and super thankful for that. It's a really cool opportunity, and yeah, something that I definitely wasn't used to.
Well, you're on your way to becoming a very important piece of this roster. You already are. Thanks for the time. Congrats on the win, and keep it going in Tampa.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Alex Vlasic. He's one of my favorite guys to talk to off the ice as well. Such a good head on his shoulders, mm-hmm. brings positivity inside the locker room. He was a really important piece for Team USA at the Worlds overseas that Frank Nazar was also on. And yeah. So I think Vlasic was the ice time leader for Chicago tonight at 24:57.
Wow.
And I thought he was noticeable.
You know what? That's one of my favorite stats. That shows you what the coaching staff thinks of you. And for him to lead this team in ice time, that's pretty impressive. Thoughtful young man. I've talked to him before, but, you know, he thinks his answers through, and yeah, he should be, well, you know, he's an assistant captain now because of, you know, some guys being out, but eventually he will be a leader on this team.
I agree, and it's been awesome to see his growth as a player, because when he got drafted by Chicago, he was kind of immediately labeled as defensive defenseman because he's tall, mm-hmm. he's rangy, that was what he was known for. And then he comes over to Chicago, and there was a year, it was the full season that he spent in Rockford right before he got promoted to the NHL full-time. He was quarterbacking the top power play unit with the IceHogs. And so then you started to see, there was actually a year, I think it might have been his first full season or maybe his second, where he had so many breakaway opportunities as a defenseman, which is crazy, both in the AHL and NHL. And then the narrative started to change about Vlasic, saying, oh, like, this guy actually might be, he might be a legit two-way defenseman, not mm-hmm. just pegged as a stay-at-home guy. So the fact that he's really elevated his offensive ceiling and floor has been awesome for Chicago when you're trying to, you know, predict the lineup in 3 years and the Hawks are contending for cups.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Charlie. And I'm glad he mentioned Brian Kane, and it's spelled K-E-A-N-E. And believe it or not, that's Dale Talon's son-in-law is Brian Kane. I believe he married one of Daryl's.
Right.
I keep saying Daryl. Dale's daughters. But taking me away from my point, they've got a great coaching staff. Brian does a really, really good job with the skills. And I said it in my question to him. He's taken it to another level this year. He really has. He looks a little faster. He's probably stronger. I think the confidence thing is the biggest thing, though. He's willing to hang on to pucks. And I can tell you as an NHL defenseman, if you can just hang on to the puck an extra half second, so many things open up for you. You want to rush the play because you think, I've got to make this play and guys are coming at me. But if you just hang on, somebody will peel off of you or somebody becomes open. And that's the key to being a kind of a settling defenseman, is just to hold on to the puck, just that extra half second. Doesn't always work out, but if you can just hold on to it, chances are you can make the right play.
So for the second time in 6 days, the Blackhawks and Chicago Bears have both won on the same day. We had a big Monday night win last Monday. It was Monday Night
Washington,
Football. Washington.
Yeah.
And then now the Hawks today, but the Bears picked up a nice win over the Saints earlier today. So how about that? Chicago's going home happy.
Hang on. Are the Bears 5? What are they, 4-2 now?
They're 4-2 now. They started 0-2.
Yeah.
Now they've won four in a row. The Vikings lost today, too. Green Bay was on the fence all game.
Yeah.
They almost lost. I think the Bears, they could have been knocking on the door with Detroit for the top seed in the North. But
so you're pushing for a Super Bowl and a Stanley Cup in 2026 here in the city of big shoulders.
You heard it here. We're blowing past a few stages of the rebuild. We're going straight
to
Cup.
That's right. Why not?
Yeah, I love it.
Lacombe behind the net, stripped of the puck by Donato.
Trying to give it over to Bedard. It rolls off his stick. The Ducks are back the other way. Two on one. Carlson over the Hawk line. Right circle. Send it over to the left wing corner. McTavish is bumped off the puck. Renzel's got it. Three on one break in overtime. Donato over the line. Put it over to Bedard. Shoots. Sandro Stahl makes the save with a chest. Rebound. They score! Ryan Donato took a feed from behind the duck net from Bedard and snapped it past Bill Stahl. The Hawks win in overtime, 2-1.
What a last couple games he's had. He's on, now on a three-game goal streak, and he's on a four-game point streak after going pointless in the first three games. I think he's really benefited from dropping to that third line where he can play more. On the top line, you just have a lot of responsibility to play those heavy minutes on offense and defense, but with playing on the third line, feels like he's been able to play a little bit more. I know he still plays heavy minutes going up against some of the top checkers, but he's not playing 18, 19 minutes a night. It's closer to 14, 15 that I think suits his game better. So big overtime winner by Ryan Donato, set up by Connor Bedard. Let's hear what Donato had to say after his OT winner gave Chicago a 2-1 win.
Got no boogers, do I?
As much as you're going to be.
Okay, good.
You guys have had a few games go overtime already this year. How nice is it to get that finish?
Yeah, you know, it's awesome. Obviously, we're very thankful to have Nider, Net, and, you know, getting us to those points because, you know, sometimes it feels like it go the other way. Right, like late, he's making some big saves, and, you know, we definitely owe him that one, and, you know, we probably owe Sody one too, but it's definitely nice to get a win tonight.
What lessons did you learn from overtime on Friday?
I think, you know, there's a lot of things, not just Friday, even the one in Boston, right? Like, I think there's times, you know, places to change, you know, shot selection, you know, certain areas where you got to, you know, possess the puck and outchange them and, you know, make sure they can't get their change. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it. We're a young team, but, you know, we have good legs and obviously some high-end talent. So it's nice to have that. And if we could possess the puck and do the little things right, we'll be a hard team to beat in overtime.
Ryan, can you talk about the goal and what led up to it?
Yeah, no, I think there was a bunch of good battles that we won, to be honest with you. I think Connor won one, and then, you know, Sam makes a great play on the defending and then, you know, strips a guy from the of the puck there, and, you know, it's a great play by him, and those are the type of, you know, battles that, you know, good teams win all the time. And, you know, we come down on a 2-on-1, and, you know, I know Connor's been all over it tonight with shots, and he's all over it, so... And I think for most of the time, I think most goalies think I'm shooting it, so I tried to make a pass, and, you know, he made another great save, but Connor, you know, won another battle and stuck with it and hit me in front, and, you know, just a nice tap-in. Like I said, those are the ones you pray about every day that, you know, you're in the crease and they go in, and, you know, thankfully it did tonight.
What have you seen from Connor these past three games? It seems like he's been all over it.
Yeah, you know, he's great. He's super competitive, and I don't think that's ever been a question, right? His work ethic, but... You know, I think there's a lot of details that he's doing well right now, and, you know, he's continuing to learn, and, you know, it's fun to be around, right? I think you see the team. There's a, you know, we're out shooting teams. We're obviously not tonight, but there's things that we're doing right that, you know, that the good teams do and the best players in the world do, and Connor's one of those guys. So I think that, you know, he's buying into that, and it's not like he hasn't before, but he's really, you know, we can really see the difference with him, and, you know, it's fun to be around, and, you know, that creates winning habits.
With the 11-7, I mean, your line mates are changing on a regular basis. You're out there making nice plays with Frank. How challenging is it, and how fun is it to kind of have to adapt to your line almost every time you're out there?
Yeah, no, there's definitely there's challenges with it, but I think at the same time, it's like we're such a young team. We've played with so many different guys, right? I've played up and down the lineup with different guys, same with Frank, Connor. There's so many different guys that, you know, play on different lines, and if you can get chemistry with more than two guys, all the better for the team, right? So obviously 11-7 is something new that we're doing, and some guys aren't used to it, but I think it's fun, and, you know, obviously there's a time for it and there's a time not to do it, but that's up to the coaches. But I think at the same time there's chemistry between guys, between lines, and, you know, if certain guys are going and certain art guys aren't going, that's up for the coaches to decide, but I think it's gives them more options for sure.
What was the message to the team to kind of like stay focused after giving up that late goal?
Yeah, you know, I think it's tough, right? Like you get in those situations where you're up late and something happens and, you know, it goes the other way, and, you know, that can be defeating sometimes, and but, you know, how many times can you let that, you know, mentally defeat you at the end, right? I think guys were mature enough tonight to be like, you know what, screw this, we're gonna continue to play and compete, and we're gonna get this win, and, you know, Nider deserved it, we all deserved it, and I think you know, would have been nice to get it done in regulation, right? And those are the lessons we'll learn. But, you know, we definitely we didn't break tonight. We bend a little bit. I don't even know if that's the right tense, but we did bend a little bit, but we didn't break tonight. And, you know, that was a good thing.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato talking about this 2-1 overtime win over Anaheim. That was the third time this season the Blackhawks have taken a game into overtime. They got awfully close in the home opener against Montreal. They were 15 seconds away. So it's encouraging that the Hawks are finding ways to pick up points and play important minutes in regulation and in overtime. But like Ryan said, he's probably, as a young group, they want to try to find that next level and make sure that they're winning these games in regulation, or they're bending but not breaking, but they don't want to bend too much. They just want to be smaller, kind of minimize those smaller stretches. And so hey, the Hawks will take this win. I thought it was a terrific bounce back. Three wins against Utah, St. Louis, Anaheim, and then the shootout loss against Vancouver that easily could have been that could have gone Chicago's way. So that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato. How about let's go to Frank Nazar? He didn't think he was too noticeable, his line in the first two periods, but I thought they really stepped up in the third. Here's Frank and what he had to say about this 2-1 overtime win.
Bounce back after giving up the late goal to tie it.
Honestly, I thought it was great. Staying pretty level-headed the whole game. Having a lead there and giving up one at the end, and staying with it and going in overtime with stuff that we've worked on since our last loss, and learning from that and just being better. So really kept a level head.
You were pretty active on that goal shift. What can you kind of walk us through, like, I guess, from stopping the puck at the blue line to the goal for
you? I mean, I don't really remember the full play right now. I got to relax a little bit. But Donald made a great play getting at the blue line, taking a hit to make a play. And Kaiser joined up on the rush, had a good shot. Really just stopping at the net for those greasy goals. And we knew it was going to be a hard one to get and something that was going to be greasy right there. And just how it went.
What were the lessons learned from overtime on Friday?
I think just better changes, changing with the puck, really. Really, it's puck is gold, and take advantage of it when you have it. And don't give it away.
You came up pretty quick on that first shift. Is that part of the plan? Because Connor stayed out there for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I figured it was a good time to change. We end up losing the puck there, and then they end up coming down on us, and we had a fresh body out there. And I mean, who knows? Could have helped if it was him instead of me. So,
what does a win like this mean when you have days off before you play again?
Feels great. I mean, I'm sure you can tell by all of our reaction when puck went in the back of the net. We're jumping for joy, and just feels good to get a good overtime win at home.
There were a couple stretches where it got a little loose. How nice is it having Spencer Knight in the back end keeping you guys afloat?
Yeah, he was great tonight. Every time he's in that, you just know he's going to be good. Something you can count on, and he's a brick house. just saves everything. And it feels us, or it lets us feel more confident to go play off ice. We still got to do a lot better job of helping him out and being there for him, because he does a lot for us.
You guys were fighting us well in the second period there, and then third period played really well. What was the message here?
Say that again.
You guys were kind of fighting uphill in the second period there, but in the third you kind of dominated. What was the message at intermission?
Honestly, I think it was just stay out of the penalty box. It's hard to get stuff going and some momentum, and we're constantly going 5-on-4, killing penalties, and once we're able to go with our line mates and with each other and build momentum, it gets a lot better.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Frank Nazar. Really good point by Cheryl, the question there of how nice it is for Chicago now that they'll be able to sit on this, because they don't play until Thursday again. So the vibes are going to be great this week for the Blackhawks. They're going to travel to Tampa Bay on Tuesday. So a day early. So they're going to get some nice sun out there in Tampa, and it just feels like the vibes are really positive. The energy is really high. And for Chicago to be able to sit on this bounce back win after losing in a shootout to Vancouver on Friday night, I think is really encouraging. And I think it's going to keep morale up for a longer stretch moving forward. So a big win by the Blackhawks, 2-0 and 2-1 in overtime against the Anaheim Ducks. Let's get to tonight's Ice Times, which are sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Alex Vlasic, who was our post-game guest earlier today, led the way for the Blackhawks in minutes eaten, 24:57. He ended up finishing with 26 shifts, which tied all Chicago skaters. And right behind him, 20 seconds behind him, was Connor Bedard at 24:37. Connor Bedard finished with 9 shots on goal. No other Blackhawk had more than 3 So Connor was far and away the leader for both teams. Honestly, I'm looking at Owen Zellweger and Michael Granlund had six for Anaheim. So what a performance it was by Connor. I know he ends up only with an assist, but boy, it feels like he was flying and he was dialed in all night, creating chances. So great to see Connor Bedard perform. Honestly, he easily could have been one of the three stars of this game. But you know who was the number one star of the game? Spencer Knight. What a performance by him. 38 saves on 39 shots for a .974 save percentage. He's been legitimately one of the best goaltenders in the NHL in this early season. Let's hear what Spencer had to say about this win.
Spencer, when you're that close to a shutout and you score in the last minute like that, how do you get yourself back up for the chaos of overtime?
Just take a drink of water and keep going.
How have you seen the young defenseman in front of you, especially playing seven, kind of develop and mature over these last seven games?
Yeah, and I know they're all good players. A lot of skill, poise, a lot of guys with size too. So it's cool to see. You know, great people. So just love playing with them.
So not any extra special game to win in your 100th game?
No, I didn't even know it was my 100th game.
What did you see from the team overall tonight?
Just resiliency, probably. Staying with it. And that's the thing. You gotta earn. It's a privilege to be in positions where you're in close games. So I think that's important for us to realize too. Is that you could say, you know, like losing these games, we're so close. But you know, that's what the NHL is. You know, you get the playoffs, it's not going to be 7-0, 6-1, 5-1 games. It's 3-2, maybe 4-3, 5-4. They're going to be one goal games. So it's a privilege to be in that situation. And I think it's good for us just to be in those situations where it means something in the end, playing all the way to the buzzer in the third period.
Has it helped the depth on the penalty kill when you've got a guy like Dickinson and Foligno out to be able to keep rolling young guys through?
Yeah, just, you know, keep. It's just kind of like a next man up mentality, I guess, right? A lot of great players that we all trust. So to me, I don't really even think twice just about who's on the ice. I just trust all our guys. Was out there, you know. I know I got their back and they got mine. So
it's early in the season, but how have you felt with the workload so far? Five starts in seven games.
Fine. It's all good.
It's all good. Spencer Knight, cool as a cucumber. He was terrific in this game for the Blackhawks. I'm looking at his total numbers now. He's made 148 saves out of 158 shots. So he's only given up 10 goals this season. His save percentage is now up to .937 in the five starts that he's played. And I pulled up NHL.com to see where that ranks among NHL goaltenders with at least, let's say, three starts, because there are a couple goaltenders that are here with one. There's another with two. Among goaltenders with at least three starts this season, he ranks third. Scott Wedgwood is second in Colorado with a .938 save percentage in six starts. Igor Shesterkin, New York Rangers superstar, leads the way, .962 save percentage in five starts. He also has a shutout. So Spencer Knight, third in the entire NHL among NHL goaltenders that have at least three starts this season. He only has two wins to show for it in those five games, but he is a huge reason why, even in the loss, those two regulation losses, he's played a significant role. Thinking of the opening night against Florida, he was sensational. Also wanted to point out some of the numbers. The scoring chances in the first two periods were 22-14 in favor of Anaheim. In the third period, though, it was 14-5 scoring chances in favor of Chicago. So I thought they did a great job. The first two periods were not really sexy on either side. It was a high volume shot totals for both teams, but it was low event hockey. I didn't feel like a ton of them came from high quality scoring chances outside of a couple of the power play opportunities that both teams got. But at even strength, it didn't feel like there were many high danger chances. But I thought the Chicago really tilted the ice in their favor in that third period, and the scoring chances reflect it. A nice bounce back performance by the Blackhawks after falling in a shootout on Friday night to the Vancouver Canucks. The Hawks are fun to watch, And man, if you look, if you an 0-2-1 start, after an 0-2-1 start, Hawks are now 3-0-1 in their last four games. You can even look at some of those games in the first three, and the Hawks can easily could have easily turned those into wins. So it is fun to watch Blackhawks hockey again. You know what else is going to be fun to watch? Nick Lardis. It's time for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Nick Lardis scored his first professional goal the other night for the Rockford Ice Hogs in the AHL, and then he followed that up with a game today, a four-point performance. All of his points, I believe, came in the second period of the game today, and he is now the AHL leader in points with 8 through 5 games, 2 goals and 6 assists. So a terrific start to the season for Nick Lardis. Rockford was 4-0 prior to their loss against the Chicago Wolves tonight. So, been a fun season already in Rockford with Lardis and Oliver Moore. Brett Cini's up there among the AHL leaders in points. So, terrific performance by Lardis. Let's get to our next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks next game Thursday at Tampa Bay. They've come out of the gate slow. They're 1-3-2 through 6 games. Nikita Kucherov hasn't played in the last 2 games because of an illness. And Tampa Bay is averaging 23.3 shots per game. That's 30th in the NHL. So the Hawks can take advantage, ride the momentum into Tampa. And it's going to be Jeff Blashill's return to Tampa, where he was an assistant for the last 3 years. So I'm sure there will be some, it should be a fun game for Chicago and Jeff Blashill.